than hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Hello and welcome to the other side of the news. I'm your host, Bob Fitrakis. Today my guest is Bill Lyons, president of the Ohio Community Rights Network. We're here to talk about the other side of the news, and that would be the other side of brine. You keep hearing about how wonderful this brine is as a de-icer. The question is, does it come with any problems or hazards? Bill, you've been studying this question a while, and I keep hearing on the news from the weather teams how we're going to, on this icy day, how we're going to de-ice the roads. Good idea or not?
Well, yeah, sure. We want to get the ice off, but it depends on what kind of brine you're using. So the thing is that most people think of brine as salt and water. And some municipalities also mix things like beet juice in there. It also helps. But in fact, some places in Ohio use brine that comes from oil and gas operations that has other toxic and radioactive substances in it besides just salt and water.
Well, the beet juice sounded healthy, but you also mentioned radioactive material. This brine is the product of oil and gas extraction. Why would they be putting other stuff in other when you talk about brine, it sounds like you're talking really about salt and water, but you're saying it goes beyond that. How did that happen?
Well, when they drill and then they stimulate the wells to get oil and gas, there's a lot of water that's deep underground that comes from ancient seabeds, and it's very, very salty. But below ground, there's also a lot of other chemicals, radioactive chemicals and other things. Plus, when they inject the wells, they inject them with fluids that contain a lot of things. Some of them we know, some of them we don't, which are very bad. But what comes up with the so-called co-opted word from the oil and gas industry, brine, which is really toxic and radioactive waste, is things such as, besides the oil and the water and the salts, there's cadmium, mercury, arsenic, lead, that's naturally occurring deep underground, benzene, and other toxic chemicals, and most troubling, radium-226 and 228. And radium is especially troubling as it's water-soluble, it's bone-seeking, its half-life of radium-226 is 1,600 years. So that means it's only going to be half as radioactive as it is almost two millennia from now. Its exposure to even low levels is known to cause bone, liver, breast cancer, and it decays into radon, which is the second leading cause of lung cancer in the U.S. So we can talk more about like the limits that's allowed in the environment there, but just to say that the U.S. EPA allows a measure called 5 picocuries per liter for the combined radium-226 and 228 in water. And these oil well brines have been tested by Ohio Department of Natural Resources, and they're in the thousands of picocuries per liter. So,
and a picocurie, we're talking about a billionth of a product there. And it's not something that you want to spread around. So I'm trying to figure out, how did the oil and gas industry spread this in Ohio? Is it using it anywhere now? Is it using it locally here in central Ohio?
Well, first of all, just to say that when they drill for oil and gas, whether it's the conventional drilling or the unconventional, which is known for some people as the horizontal or the, they're both fracked in a way, but the more recent one, the is the fracked ones. They both create, there's much more brine that, to use their word, like I said, it's the oil and gas waste that comes back up, then much more of it than the volume of oil or gas. And in, it's estimated that in the U.S., there's like a trillion gallons of this stuff produced. So the oil and gas industry is like, well, what do we do with this stuff here? And since they've been, they don't have to treat it as the radioactive waste that it is. There's a history to that. But so that one of the ways they get rid of it is put it in injection wells. Ohio has 226 of those there. But the other way is if they can give it to municipalities, counties, townships, and other places to get it to say, hey, it's salty, so you can use it to melt ice. Well, in, you ask, is it used here in Central Ohio? Well, it, I don't know how far back, but I know that recently, for like 10 years, the way the state law is that if it's used in a county, that any business that wants to put it on their roads, sorry, on their like parking lot or driveways has to apply. So there was a business in Gahanna in Franklin County called Suburban Steel Supply Company that had been getting approval from the Franklin County commissioners for years to spread this stuff every year. And so I was made aware of it by Teresa Mills. So I let the Franklin County commissioners know before, because they have to apply every year, before the next approval time came up, to say that, look, I gave them all the evidence. This stuff is highly toxic. It's got radioactive substances, and they don't need to use this. There are other things to use there. Why put their employees at risk? And so they took time to review it, and then they decided not to approve any more applications for brine spreading for this facility, and put in a resolution to say that they don't plan to approve future ones. So as of current, only Franklin County and Athens County has resolutions to say that they're not going to approve future applications for brine spreading.
So do you know of any place in the state where it's being used?
Oh, yeah. There's places. There's a map that Frack Tracker created, and it's published in an article that I wrote in Frack Tracker. If people want to look at FRAC Tracker, TRACKER.org, and do a search for oil and gas brine in Ohio, there's a map there that shows in Ohio there are various places that are using, that are spreading the brine, and townships and counties, municipalities. As far as Central Ohio, what's close is in Morrill County, which is also in our water watershed area there, because we're downstream from that. It's being spread on roads there, as well as we have injection wells there too. Many other places in Ohio there that it has been spread. In fact, it was even being spread. There was a product, there is a product called Aqua Salina that it's a processed brine product, but it still has all the toxic and radioactive elements in it that was being spread by the Ohio Department, Ohio Department of Transportation on some state roads, and it was being spread on turnpikes. But because of a lot of groups like ours raising alarms about this, that they decided not to purchase any more of this material there. But yes, it is being spread in places throughout Ohio. So one of the things I want people to know, that just because maybe where you live, it's not being spread. What about when you travel through Ohio? You can be exposed to this stuff and you don't know where. Most people don't.
You're listening to The Other Side of the News on WGRN 94.1 FM. I'm Bob Fitragus. My guest today is president of the Ohio Community Rights Network, Bill Lyons. And let's talk briefly about the Ohio Community Rights Network. And we'll go back a little to the brine issue on this icy day. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the organization and what other issues and actions it's involved in.
Yeah, well, the Ohio Community Rights Network, it's a statewide grassroots network. It works to educate, empower, and motivate Ohioans to build equitable communities, to secure the rights of local self-governance, and to establish the rights of nature to exist and flourish throughout Ohio. And we have community groups like our local one here that I'm also a co-organizer of, Columbus Community Bill of Rights, that have tried to have get ballot get initiatives on the ballot to protect our water, our soil from toxic trespass from the oil and gas industries there. And of course, throughout Ohio, we've met with a lot of resistance from all three branches of our government there. But as far as our past actions, in 2021, we sent letters and we had a press release to the Attorney General and county prosecutors. And we discovered that Ohio has a law that was enacted in 2002, shortly after the 9/11 attacks. It makes it a felony to knowingly leave in any public place or knowingly expose one or more persons to any hazardous chemical radioactive substance with the intent to create a risk of serious physical harm to any person. And so we argued that many elected officials and state agencies have long known about the toxic and radioactive content of oil and gas well brine. In fact, the industry has known about it for about 100 years. And they've known about its risk, but they allow the public to be exposed to it anyway. And so we questioned, aren't they violating this law? And so we sent it to the Attorney General, county prosecutors, and we did get some coverage on that issue. And then just the middle of November, when the lame duck session started this year, we sent a letter to Ohio officials. We sent it to the governor. We sent it to the directors of the state agencies, Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Ohio Department of Health, Ohio EPA, to the Senate President, the House Speaker Cup, to a couple other representatives, to say that we are demanding a ban of this practice of allowing this, you know, us to be guinea pigs for the spread of this radioactive and toxic substances in Ohio and nature, to be polluted rivers and streams and life in those areas there. So, the reason that we included the state agencies is Ohio has sanctioned the use of oil and gas brine since 1985, but in 1986, they discovered in 1986 that oil and gas brine contained benzene. They didn't know about the radioactive content at that time, and they got alarmed by it. And the three state agencies, Ohio Department of Health, Ohio EPA, and Ohio Department of Natural Resources, said they were going to lobby to ban the spread of brine, oil well brine, on Ohio roads. But nothing happened of it. And so we sent a letter to say, after 36 years of still being poisoned after all these years, it's long overdue to stop this toxic practice.
And again, there's been a talk of brine as commodity bills in the legislature. Could you go over that?
Sure. Yeah. Another reason that we sent this letter just during the lame duck session, even though there's been all kinds of other toxic issues in the lame duck session that people are probably aware of that have been rushed through to try to get the governor to sign various issues. But so there are these brinous commodity bills, and they've been introduced in three different Ohio legislatures and five different versions of these bills. The most recent ones have been House Bill 282, Senate Bill 171. And they've basically been promoted by a guy who owns a company that produces a product called Aqua Selena. It sounds very nice, but it's just processed radioactive oil and gas brine.
But the name implies, of course, it's just water, salty water.
Yeah, in fact, on the bottle, it says it's ancient seawater. But there's no indication of all the toxicity and the radioactivity in the product there. And it used to be sold in some Lowe's stores in Northeast Ohio on the shelves, but it was taken off because some things were changed in the law. But so what these bills wanted to do is to commodify this brine and to lock in astonishingly high levels of radioactivity. Remember, water is only allowed to have 5 picocuries per liter, and there's 160 picocuries per liter that can be discharged to the environment. These bills would allow 20,000 picocuries per liter of radium-226 and 2,500 picocuries per liter for radium-228, as well as other levels of cadmium, lead, benzene, and so forth. And it would just remove any oversight on this product. Then it could be sold to people right next to salt and other things in stores as de-icer. And they wouldn't be knowing that they'd be contaminating their families, their pets with this product as they spread it on their driveways to try to remove the salt from them.
Yeah, because we sell essentially salt as de-icer, for stairways, et cetera. Are there any bills that have been introduced on this issue of brine that would ban it as a dust? They use it also as a dust suppressant, do they not? Mm-hmm.
Yes. They claim, but studies have shown it's not even good as a so-called dust suppressant, and because of its high sodium chloride content there. But so de-icing, it isn't only de-icer, but has been sold to spread on roads during the summertime as a dust suppressant. But yeah, there was a bill introduced this year by Mary Lightbody, House Bill 579, that was a bill to ban this process of oil and gas brine spreading throughout Ohio, to ban that practice there. And after our letter that was sent, and in fact, our letter was signed by 28 groups throughout Ohio concerned about this practice of oil well brine spreading. We didn't get much media coverage because, like I said, there was so much going on. I know the Columbus Free Press published our press release. We're grateful for that. But I think because of our action, at least Mary Lightbody's bill got its first hearing, but she plans to reintroduce it next year. So we hope to continue putting the pressure on and making the public know that this dangerous practice needs to stop.
So what can people do to become better informed on this issue? Are there certain websites? Are there meetings? Are there lobby days? What can they do?
Yeah, well, one is I encourage people to learn more about it. You can go to our website, ohiocrn.org, Ohio Community Rights Network. So it's Ohio C for Community, R for Rights, N for Network.org. And then they can click on, we have a tab for a toxic trespass page. And on that, we have lots and lots of information about this whole issue. We have our letter that we sent to all these state officials. We have coverage that the news media does. And also, we'd encourage people, if they want to stay informed in it, sign up for our newsletter so that they can be abreast of future actions, because this problem is too important to let this die. There's other groups that are working on this issue that I've also worked with, the Ohio Brine Task Force and others too. So we're all, and like I said, we've got 28 different organizations that see that this is a health risk, and they're throughout Ohio that say that this crazy practice needs to stop here, that 36 years of allowing this to happen, and then it's also risking future generations because of the long-term radioactivity of radium-226.
Okay, so if we can't use brine to do the icing, what would the other option be? Sure, people are going to say we have to use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, salts has some toxicity to the environment anyhow. But I know that besides, like I mentioned, the beet juice, and there are other kinds of, there's like calcium chloride, sodium chloride, and others. Some have used sand. But at least with a lot of municipalities, like in Columbus, they are taking rock salt, mixing it with water and other things there to spread on the roads there. Salt in the high concentration isn't good for the environment, but it's certainly better than adding other things like cadmium, lead, benzene, radium, and so forth. But like I said, some are using other things there. So at least if it's used when it's really needed there in limited quantities, I guess they probably are continuing to look for products that will help with this process of removing ice, but won't use oil, the brine from the oil and gas industry, which is a way for them to dispose of this toxic product there, because like I said, they produce so much of it. They're like, how do we get rid of this stuff there? So if we can just give it away to townships, and then they don't have to buy salt and water and spread it on the roads or sand or other things, then great, another way to get rid of it.
So would beet juice be the best practice at this time? Every now and then I'll hear stuff about solar panels or material using to reflect on the road, heat it up. I have no idea whether that's even possible.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's I'm not an expert on what it is in the beet juice that helps with it. And it's probably combined with some other things there. Now, as far as the roads and how to heat them up there, I would think that would take a tremendous amount of infrastructure to do that. Maybe that could be useful on bridges and things like that in limited amounts. I don't know. But it's a concern and a safety concern. We have to keep ice off the roads. But obviously, if people don't need to drive, they shouldn't. But we know that there are some cases where they have to. So
now, if we stopped fracking, we wouldn't have to deal with a lot of the byproducts that are so destructive with fracking. Is mm-hmm. there any chance we're going to stop fracking in Ohio?
Well, we certainly wish that was the case there, but in the foreseeable future, it doesn't look like it. The governor's got a bill on his desk that is, and there's an op-ed in the Dispatch today that talks about a bill that was just for increasing, it was decreasing the amount of chickens that can be sold. So it was some minor bill, but then at the last minute, they inserted all of this stuff to make it so that our parks can be fracked. In fact, it changed the wording from may to shall. So in other words, making it a mandatory thing. So all of the great parks of Ohio could be fracked if the governor signs his bill. And they also labeled natural gas from fracking as green energy. So another way to co-opt language like this to try to obfuscate what really is the issue here. But let me say one thing about the brine that is used on the roads. It's supposed to be from the conventional wells, which is the vertical wells by law. But ODNR, Ohio Department of Natural Resources, own study, our state agency's own study, confirmed that the radioactivity and toxicity of the so-called oil well brine from fracked wells as well as the conventional wells has the same really radioactive content. In fact, in some cases, one is more than the other and it switches. So it doesn't really matter the fact that they've said that the what they use, the brine, is from the conventional wells. It's just as bad as the wells that are done from the unconventional wells, which uses the horizontal, where they drill down thousands of feet, and then they drill horizontally for several miles sometimes. So it's just, we wish that this practice would stop, and hopefully this will wake people up that they want to make it demanding that they do it in national parks as well. So we'll see what the governor does on this, but I encourage people to read the op-ed and the dispatch today about it.
All right. Again, Bill Lyons, president of the Ohio Community Rights Network, thanks for taking a look at the other side of the news with me. You provided a lot of information for the readers. Anything else to say?
Well, I'd say that besides, like I said, one more time, check out ohiocrn.org and then our toxic trespass website, and stay informed on this issue and let other people know about it there, because this affects all of us. Even if we live in a place where they're not spreading this, like I said, nature doesn't obey our artificial boundaries, and we can travel anywhere in Ohio and be exposed to this toxic stuff.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.